are. It's been an exciting weekend. I know some of you say, well, we're a little nuts. You're right. We're nuts for Jesus. We're not a nutcase before the Lord, and now we're just a smelling aroma. We are fruitcake in his place. Last time we were looking at what love is like, we went through, we have been in a journey through several weeks of talking about different things, very interesting. We need to know them. You haven't heard the messages, you need to go to our website and look at the sermons. I included an insert on your bulletins. If you haven't gotten one, there's some loose in the back, in the little table, there's a paper. And it talks about the kind of love that the Lord expects each one of us to walk. And so what I would like for you to do with that paper, if you haven't got one, get one. I want you to read it over and over regularly, at least for some time, and then judge yourself to see how close to what the paper says you are in reality. And if, you know, you're falling short, then you definitely make the adjustments that are necessary. We took the sentences out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that speaks of the love type, the God type of love, agape love. And so we sort of paraphrase it to fit what we need to walk on a daily basis, how love would reflect flowing through us. We always judge others. You know, we know when somebody's not being loving to me, but we don't look ourselves in the mirror many times. We're judging others and we're not judging ourselves. The word says, you know, before you go and take the speck out of your brother's eye, you look at your beam on your own eye. And sometimes that beam can be blinding to us about our own shortcomings. We talked about the word being a mirror for us, and in this case, it is a very convicting one. Don't just assume that since you heard the message that you got it, you know. Sometimes the mind can only hold what the seat can endure, you know, sitting down and maybe you think I'm long-winded. Well, the Lord's got a lot of work to do in us, so we need to stay with it. Knowing is one thing. Doing is another. We can know what love is, but are we walking in it? I think the Apostle James in chapter 1, verse 22, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So many times, oh, give me new revelation, give me new revelation. What did we do with the last one you got? You know, God cannot give you more in your cup if it's already full of stuff and you never walk in it. You know, we eat every day, but then we do things every day, and so our body consumes that and is ready for more. We need to do that in the spirit as well. We need to walk on that which we get, put it to practice, so that we become everything God intends for us to be. But today we're going in a little rabbit trail, at least starting in one. I don't know how deep we're going to get, but we're going to talk a little bit about friendships and relationships. You know, most of you are probably connected in some way to Facebook, and you have probably befriended hundreds, if not thousands, of people. As many are finding out, the tidal wave of communication is still not producing friendships. Actually, they're reducing them. 90% of Americans cannot name a true friend for each finger in their hands. I mean, we think we got friends, but when it comes down to, do I have a true friend? Can you put names in each one of your fingers and come up with 10 people that you can call friends? We used to, well, I'm old, you know, you say, well, you're old. But I remember I used to have more of what I considered friends before. Of course, some of mine have died or passed on or moved on. You know, to you, I'm an old guy, but, you know, think about it. Do you really have 10 good friends, or is it hard to come up with a name? The bottom line is, the more we progress in this age, we seem to be getting lonelier. You know, for about 6 years, we have been progressing in technology, medicine, in procedures that have extended our life expectancy. You know, we have doctors, we have procedures, we got technology that keeps us alive a little longer than it used to in some time ago. And yet, in around 2016 or 2017, there was some medical research done in our country, in our culture, and it found out that our life expectancy is lowering for the first time in about 6 years. And they found out it's not because of cancer, it's not because of pandemics, it's not about heart diseases that are increasing, but because people are getting lonelier. And that was a shocker. Our souls are getting lonely, and that loneliness is killing people. As we replace flesh and blood relationships with digital illusions, that's really killing people. Chronic loneliness is more dangerous to your health than smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That was found by some guy who did some research. Think about it. 15 cigarettes a day is a lot. I mean, you're killing yourself very quickly. And yet, chronic loneliness can do more harm than that. So you ask yourself, why are relationships so important to us? If you go at the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, the first chapter, he starts saying, God did this and God did that, and he created the heavens and the earth, he created light, he created the seas and the waves and the trees and the animals and the plants and all of the things he created, all the way down to verse 25 of the first chapter of Genesis. But then in verse 26, he changed the way he was talking. He would say, and God created this, and God did this. And then, verse 26, he said, let us, in our image. So first he was talking about a God did this, God did that. And then in verse 26, when it relates to man, he says, let us. This verse speaks about the triune nature of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, eternal. Three manifestations, three beings, and yet one God. You know, that alone can blow anybody's mind. But if we would understand God, then we would be God ourselves. And that's not happening. I want you to know. So don't even try. In the Trinity is where we see that God is relational in himself. There's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in eternal fellowship. Eternity past, present, eternity future. They are interrelated. They have a fellowship, relationship within himself. Just as God is not just a me, but also an us, so are we, because we were made in God's image. After God created everything perfect and great and fabulous and just awesome, there was still one more element to create. You see, God said, it was not good for man to be alone. And then in Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. You see, man was in perfect communion with God when God created Adam. Adam was made in the image and of a community God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was made in his image. Eden was great. Paradise. Great food. Man had authority over all the earth, all that was in it. No need to sweat. No need to toil. That was work. But man, how can you complain about the work that we had? Well, Adam had. There was beauty all over. There was no sin. And on and on and on. Almost all was that should be in Eden. But something was missing. Man needed to be in community. In relationship with someone else, not just God. Adam would not be fully satisfied until he was not just a me, but also an us. Just as his creator was just not a me, but an us. We will always be lacking in this life if we are only me and not us. That's why to be self-centered is just destruction for a person. Personal relationships are the essence of what it is to be human. God said it's not good for man to be alone. And when he says man, he's talking about mankind. Man and woman. It's not good for us to be alone. Paradise was not paradise without others, without relationships, without friendships. And now we got to change. We want to change the way God designed things. And it's all about me. And I can handle it on my own. So God created Eve so that she could fellowship with Adam. And when God did that, Genesis 2:23, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Adam was literally exclaiming, "At last I am in community." That "now" really means at last. Now I am complete. I have someone like me that I can share life with. Many of you are looking for someone special to share your life with. It is a God-given desire because you're made in the image of God. Interesting how Genesis 2:25 says, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Not ashamed means vulnerability. Fully open to one another, transparent, and yet secure in who they were, without fear of rejection. They were open to one another in every aspect, spirit, soul, and body. But see, they knew who they were made, and they were secure in that. And they can open themselves without having to pretend to be something else before one another. That's a cry of our hearts, that we are fully known by somebody else with no shame, no fear of who we are, that somebody else will find out how I am. And not have to fear any type of rejection. I love my wife, and at times I want to not love her because she knows me and she points out some areas that I need improvement. And she doesn't hold punches. She's a Puerto Rican and boy. When Adam and Eve sinned, they covered themselves because they were ashamed. They had a fear that the other would reject them the way they were. And so they had to pretend. They had to cover up. They had to portray something different than what they were. You see, the key to being human is to be transparent. And that brings vulnerability that some people don't want to be at. God is said to have had special friends. Did I miss Exodus? Oh, Exodus 33:11. It says, "So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend." Face to face means there's nothing hidden. Do you have friends that you're able to be transparent with? Vulnerable? Are they able to speak to your life without you getting offended? Moses was transparent before the Lord. Face to face means transparency. In the book of 2 Chronicles, it talks about Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat. He prayed. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7, he was praying to God and said, "Are you not God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever?" How many of you told your friends a long time ago, "You're going to be my friend forever," and now you don't even know where they are? Guilty! Abraham was called the friend of God forever. I like that. And like I said, many of us have had lifetime friends. You know, lifetime for you may be a different length than mine, but now, nonetheless, lifetime. In Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says, a friend loves at all times. We talked about love last time. You got a paper that describes how you should love. And a friend is faithful in his love or her love towards you. Proverbs 18, verse 24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. There's a principle here that is part of a principle of the kingdom. It's called a principle of sowing and reaping. It is expressed in this part of the verse here. Basically, what it's saying is, if you want friends, then start being a friend to someone. Then it ends up saying, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And I would tend to agree that that may be talking about Jesus Christ himself. He sticks closer than blood family, because he is blood family to me. He shed his blood and gave it to me, and he calls me brother. But he's closer than a brother. He wants to call me his friend. He says, I will call you friends if you do what I say. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. A true friend will correct and instruct you in righteous ways when you need correction and instruction. Now, we read last time that love covers and protects, but that meant from others. But when you have a friend and you know he's faulting in an area, the best behavior of you as a friend is to go and tell him in love, you know, you need to protect this area. You're falling here. You're demonstrating something you're not. Encourage. Sharpen. Iron sharpens iron. It is our relationship with one another that makes us more and more like Christ. And I need your correction and instruction as much as you need mine. So let's stop being islands. And then let's begin to live in community like God intended. We are the body of Christ. And we are supposed to be united and linked by the power of the Spirit of God working in and through us towards one another. We will be looking at other characteristics of friendship some other day, maybe next time, or I don't know how the Lord will lead. But today, I just want you to consider the fact that you need friends. Maybe you have chosen poorly in the past. And today those friends have driven you away to solitude and loneliness. God doesn't want you there. He said it's not good for you to be alone. God designed you to be in relationship with others, in community. Are you lonely? Are you lacking relationships in your life? I mean, real relationship, not just Facebook type relationships. Are you being friendly? Or are you waiting for somebody else to be friendly to you first? You know, to reap, you got to sow. Even more than that, are you looking for quality friendships? Or are you settling for mediocre ones? Ones that you know are not going to be much good to you. Now, I'm not saying that so that we can be pious and thinking everybody else is less than I am. But there are some that are definitely not for your benefit, even though you may benefit them some. But the problem is, if you're weak, you need somebody strong beside you that would help you, not throw you even deeper into the mud. I ask you, if you feel lonely, have you asked the Lord to connect you with the proper friends? You know, on Wednesday, we have been studying the book of Ephesians, and in that chapter, first chapter of Ephesians, you talk about all the things that God has given us that pertains to life and godliness. And definitely, friendships are here. And yet, he says, though I've given all these things to you, you need to ask in faith, believing. Have you asked the Lord to connect you with proper friends? Or are you the type that just complains that you don't have one? You know, we complain about the problem and never look for alternatives for the solution. That's not, you know, people don't like to be around people that are always negative. Maybe that's why you don't have friends. We're not going to go there today. Are you being the right kind of friend to others? Jesus is available. He is the awesomest friend you can find. He doesn't force you. He doesn't coerce you. He just loves you the way you are. And he hopes that you change more like him. But he doesn't press on you to the point that you say, get away. No. He's gentle, kind, merciful, patient. If you are suffering from loneliness, dissatisfied with the fact that you're not in community like you want to be, then ask the Father for friends in your life. It will make all the difference in the world because you were created to be in relationship. And he not only will be your friend, but he will connect you with others that he will use to minister to you and you to them. So you got gifts and talents and abilities that other people need. And others got other gifts and talents and abilities that you need. And together we are stronger and we are healthier and we are happier and joyous and fruitful and all the other things. Father, I thank you that you have made us a family. But Father, even sometimes, even within families, Father, we have a lot of divisions and issues. Father, we like to have close friends. We ask, Lord, that you bring those people that you want us to be in community, in friendship, connected with, Father, in a deeper level than just acquaintances. Father, we want to enjoy life to the fullness. You said that you came that we may have life and have it more abundant. And yet somehow, Father, without proper friendships and relationships in our hearts and in our lives, Lord, we feel alone. We feel secluded. Sometimes we feel in prison. Enslaved in loneliness and useless, Lord. Father, open up our eyes. Help us to be bold in looking for the relationships that you want us to have. Create divine appointments, Lord, that we would connect with the right people for the right reasons, Lord. And Father, we just thank you that you have given us that liberty and ability to connect with others so that we can not just be me, but we can be us. Thank you, Lord, for creating us in your image. And we thank you. I bless your people. Father, I pray for abundance of connections that enrich us and that we are able to be used of you to enrich them as we commune with one another. Bless your people. Strengthen them, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, we will be here for a little while. God bless. Have a great week.